we sit in a circle so that we support spiritually and emotionally one another. And we almost never sit in rows. It's always in a circular formation. And we have a variety of people here, which I find really interesting. So please let me know if I read anybody out, but we have our traditionalists. We have our Reformed to the tradition. We have our multi-religionists who are steeped also in not only Judaism, but also in, what do you speak to, Phil?
Snake oil.
No, I don't think so. I don't think so. What's the Lakota Nation? And we have people who enjoy the mystical part of Muslim. It's called Sufi. And we have Christian. And we have unaffiliated. And we have people from other countries. And this is very typical of a Jew. This is like a typical, not always, but a typical Jewish renewal setting. You need a chair?
No, I'm sitting here. Sorry.
Does anybody want to sit in the baby that I'm sitting in?
I don't care.
What's your first hint? Your first hint.
I mean, I'm okay. I just didn't know if somebody wants to.
It is also the case that we oftentimes have a dog or a cat present in the circle. So I want to thank Barbara and Kurt for opening up their house yet once again.
Yes.
And we appreciate it. We like being here, and we really appreciate your generosity. And I thank everybody who has traveled to be here and who's here tonight. Hello, sweetheart. Oh, you too, Coco. And Jewish renewal, and it's not going to be all these little details, I promise you. In Jewish renewal, we often start with a chant. Which is very typical of Hasidic practice. So we're going to start with a really simple chant, and it's Shalom. Ose Shalom. Ose, like, Ose, can you see? So let's Ose Shalom. Ose Shalom, Ose Shalom.
Ose Shalom, Ose Shalom.
Ose Shalom, Ose Shalom.
Ose Shalom.
Shalom.
Oh, say shalom. shalom, oh say shalom.
Oh say 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 shalom.
There's a line in Exodus in Shemot, in the Torah, that really reminds me of Jewish renewal and reminds me a little bit of my life. And the English says, our cattle, well, I'll read it in Hebrew and I'll read it. I'll start translating it in English. The gam mitnenu. Yalach imanu lo tisha'er. Harsaki. Our cattle shall go with us. There shall not be a hoof left behind. Ki mimanu nikak la'avod et adonai Eloheinu. For we must take it to serve the source of all being, our God. The anachnu lo nada. Nama avod et adonai ad lo'enu shema. And we know not what we must serve the source of being, the Holy One HaBaruchu, until we get there. We really won't know how, what will be revealed, and we really won't know how to serve until we have arrived. Jewish renewal, people say to me, what is Jewish renewal? I always have a very hard time answering it. And I've looked up a lot of information. I put out a question on my rabbi list, Ohalah. I was ordained in through Aleph, which is the umbrella organizations for Jewish renewal communities and ordination programs worldwide. And the Ohalah is our rabbinic and cantorial group. So I put out a question on the group list, and I said, so what's Jewish renewal? And just really volumes of information came back. It was very interesting to me because there was consensus about certain things, but there was a real lack of consensus about other things about Jewish renewal. So it's really defined by its leaders and its participants and its teachers and those who write about it, academic books and other kinds of literature. people have different opinions. Jewish renewal is a movement, and when I say a movement, I'm talking about it as movement. It really has energy. It's like a wave moving forward. It seeks to transform and renew the kavanah, the intention, the spiritual intention, with practices and rituals and understandings of a revitalized and joyous Judaism. But the movement is fundamentally a grassroots movement. This is not top down, this is bottom up. Mainly American, it is starting to spread into Europe. We have people who have smicha from Aleph, who've been ordained through Aleph, who've moved back to Europe, the Netherlands, and we've got a couple of communities in Israel now.
That'd be Aleph, like the first letter of the alphabet.
I'm sorry?
Aleph, like the first letter of the alphabet.
Right, Aleph, A-L-E-P-H. And if you go online, and I put it on, I didn't put it on. I have brochures there from Ora Hava, and I have our website address. If you go to the link on our website, Aleph is listed there, in case you forget, but it's, you know, www.aleph.org. And you'll get a lot of information about Aleph and Jewish renewal and all the different programs, and they have Birthright, and they have Tikkun Olam. They're amazing. They're really have grown, and they're very amazing. I guess we're very amazing. So it's more like a, because we're fundamentally a grassroots movement, it's more like a, you can think of it like a civil rights movement or a women's movement, where it's not so structured, even though we do have more structure than, I think we have enough structure to be called a separate movement within Judaism, but I'll get to that later. But you have to think of it, we've influenced, Jewish renewal has influenced so many, all the denominations, and people from all the denominations come to Ohala. We have everybody from Hasidic Orthodox, Modern Orthodox, Conservative and Reform, and Reconstructionist, and take it back to their synagogues, or take it back to their groups, or their whatever they're doing. And so they borrow from us, and it's good. I mean, that's all good. We borrow from them too. We also, Jewish renewal has been strongly influenced not only by the feminist movement, women, I mean, we really included women all the way back to the 60s. We were including women and ordaining women before they were ordained in the Reform movement. And we purposely and consciously opened our doors to people who have been traditionally marginalized. Within organized Jewish practice. You know, when I went to join a conservative shul, I'm not telling you this like this is lashon hara, this is a bad thing. I really appreciated what the rabbi did. When I went to join a conservative shul before Phil converted, he told me not to bother. He told me that the shul would not accept us, that we would be uncomfortable, and he didn't want that to happen. I am still friends with this rabbi. He is a colleague of mine. I have nothing but the utmost respect for his intelligence, and I thought he would use the better part of wisdom. When he told me that, he wasn't trying to insult me, he was trying to save me from a world of aggravation. That was part of the identity of the shul at that time.
Was that in Ohio?
No, this was here. This was in Tampa. People who are gay, lesbian, transgender were marginalized by traditional Judaism. They ended up having, like my cousin Danny Zikr Nolivarchav, blessed memory, was gay, and he met one of his life partners in a shul, but the whole shul was gay, and lesbian. It wasn't a mix of straight people and same sex, which is sad. So Jewish Renewal reached out to people who were gay, lesbian, and transgender, and invited them in and started ordaining people before any of the movements would ordain lesbians or gays or transgender. And we have gone, we took the one step that I thought was really great. We have people who are very, very, you know, everybody has different interests in the rule. We have some very strong halakhists, they're into Jewish law. They have rewritten the ketubah so that they have developed a ketubah for same-sex couples. And they have developed, they've influenced the get, how the get is written. And so we have rabbis, all of us do same gender marriage, and we have rabbis who have really done this very, very significant reach out. If you go on the Aleph site, you're going to read about it. There's, you know, we say very clearly, this is where we stand. Everybody is welcome. Everybody is welcome.
Including you.
And so I'm going to get to you. And that's something, because, you know, otherwise, you know, if we didn't like Lisa, we'd never include you. Forget that. So, when I say that we welcome everybody, I really mean it, because we have, Or Ahava is a Jewish renewal community, and we've always had people who are Jewish inside of the community. And it's not unusual. This is not weird. It's maybe weird for this time, although it's getting less weird now. But when we were in Jerusalem before the destruction of the temple, we had people who were not Jewish who liked to hang out with Jews. And they were called Ger Toshav. They were people who liked Jewish practice, wanted to hang out with Jewish people, but didn't want to become Jewish. So there was a category called Ger Toshav that these people would fill. And Renewal right now is looking at writing standards for how to actually honor a person who wants to take that status on, not convert. They're not interested in converting. They like who they are. They like where they come from. But they really resonate with a lot of Jewish practice, or maybe their mate's Jewish, or, you know, maybe they're a recycled soul from, maybe they were from the Holocaust, maybe they were at Sinai. And they're very, very comfortable in Jewish practice. So there is a status of Ger Toshav. So we are a very welcoming.
So I have a question.
Sure.
So if we are writing it, and why do we even need to write it if it doesn't come from, why even have a status? People are welcome without any status.
Well, people are welcome without the status, but if they want to go through a process called Ger Toshav, they can.
So what does it make that?
No, I'm just curious.
No, it's okay. It's a great question. It's a great question. And Ger Toshav, and what they're talking, they're looking at, you know, do you have to go study? Do you have to have some kind of understanding of Judaism before you can really be considered Ger Toshav? And I also am a little confused. It's very interesting that you said that, because as far as I'm concerned, I would no more ask somebody if they want to be a Ger Toshav. If they said to me, you know, I don't want to become Jewish, if somebody came to me, and I had all kinds of requests, and this is not an impossible request, and obviously this is going down, and it went on in Jerusalem a long time ago. If someone comes to me and says, I am, you know, married to somebody Jewish, I do a lot of Jewish practice, I go to shul, I do this, or, you know, I'm part of a renewal community, whatever, and I want to do something formal. I want to be recognized as something formal, in a formal way, but I don't want to convert. So I'm going to say, for sure, I'm going to say that's fine, because we don't encourage people to convert. And we have this, well, it's being developed for renewal right now, and I don't know how it's going. I haven't really, they haven't even published anything yet. I just know it's happening. But they are developing standards. So maybe the person would have to study for 6 months or something, and certain things for 6 months, and have like a sense, like have some information, so they're not like an ignorant person. And God forbid they should be with Jews and be ignorant. And then we would have a very nice formal ceremony. You know, there are people who explore Jewish roots, who are Jewish by one parent or another, and in the Reform movement, they're recognized as Jewish regardless of which parent. And, but they may want, even if they say, okay, well, they won't have second citizenship in Israel. Israel won't recognize that. But say they come and they say, you know, I'd like a little ceremony. I don't want to go through conversion because I feel Jewish. I was born, you know, my parents were Jewish. But I feel like I wanted something. For me, the Ger Toshav is very similar to this in the sense of, okay, let's have an identity affirmation ceremony. It's like affirming identity for the person. You know, really acknowledging that part of their soul is very, very active. Reaching out, and I want to support that. Yeah, that's fine. I'll give you more information than you wanted. Okay. So renewal of Judaism gets expressed through people from all different backgrounds, from Orthodox, ultra-Orthodox, conservative, Reform, Reconstructionist. I don't think humanistic so much because humanistic, you can't do anything with God. And if it doesn't concern God, it's not Jewish renewal. That's like the ESSA test, are you Jewish renewal? If it concerns God, if it doesn't concern God, it's not Jewish renewal. But there are some things that, I've listed some of them, but there's things that all Jewish renewalists, or most Jewish renewalists, agree with most of the things that I'm going to present later. But I want to, first, before I turn to that, I want to tell you that Jewish renewal has been going on since the end of the temple. Actually, since the destruction of the first temple. Jewish renewal is not a new concept. The way we're expressing it is new. It's appropriate for our time and place, and it's a very American enterprise. But renewing Judaism is, if you can hear it, is not a name brand. If you can hear Jewish renewal as renewing Judaism, I can show you, and you can, when you leave, you can take one of the sheets that outlines the history, what led to Jewish renewal. When we lost the temples and we went into the diaspora, our religious and spiritual technology of communicating with God was animal sacrifice. We had all kinds of halakha around it, Jewish law around it, and that's what we did. When the temple was destroyed and we're out in the diaspora, animal sacrifice is meaningless. We have no priesthood. We have no altar. We have no holy of holies. It doesn't make sense anymore. So what we had at the simultaneous almost is the development of rabbis, a rabbinic group, and the rabbis were very smart, and they developed what's called rabbinic Judaism, which is the study of Talmud, Mishnah and Talmud, and it discusses, Torah is always the basis for it. It's highly intellectualized, and rabbinic Judaism really reigned until around the 18th century. So I'm going to go really fast, and you're welcome to call me, and I can give you the long story, but I've got a lot of stuff to get through. So God was no longer, we also had a change in theology, right? God's no longer in the Holy of Holies. We don't have all these laws about who can encounter God under what circumstances and what they have to do before they encounter. God's not in space anymore. God is in the Word. We've had a theological change. God is in the Word of Torah, and that's what we're studying. We're studying Torah, and it's all about the intellect. So our meaning of rabbinic Judaism is to live a Torah true life, to choose to live a life according to all of the mitzvot that you can. Some of them don't apply anymore because they have to do with the temple. And I want to tell you that the halacha bound the Jewish people across all the lands. It was halacha and chicken soup that bound our people for hundreds and hundreds of years. And we spoke different dialects. We were in different villages. We were in shtetls. We were in living under host governments. We were living through pogroms. We were living through, you know, with people who didn't like us so much. We were living without civil rights. And this is how the rabbis kept us together. So my village did a little bit of different than your village, and I'm Ashkenaz, and you're Sephardi, or you're out in Spain, and you're Sephardic, or maybe you're Mizrahi. Maybe you live in Russia, maybe you live in Poland. It's all a little bit different, but fundamentally, it's three services a day to mimic the what was going on in the temple, and lots of prayers, and the halakha that guided our lives, kashrut, Shabbat. Okay, so what happens in the 18th century? Well, we start getting our civil rights, right? We are now able to go into countries, and we are able, slowly but surely, to shave our beards, and we couldn't wait, cut our paces, take off our shadels, and get educated, and make a living, and have families, and live like people. I mean, there's a very romantic view of what we were like in these little shtiebel places, and there was romance in it, and there were wonderful shtiebel shuls. But there was very hard living, very hard living. I mean, these people didn't have indoor plumbing, and there was a lot of violence. So we're going to fast forward a little bit. We come to the United States, and we want to integrate. That's what we want to do. And we actually did have Reform Judaism that said, you know, what we're supposed to be doing is we are supposed to be observing ethical monotheism. We are supposed to be ethical people. We can observe the commandments, but only if they don't keep us separate from our neighbor. Because if they separate us from our neighbor, it's not good. Because we want to integrate. So around that, the same time, around the 18th century, Hasidism evolved. And Hasidism was in Europe, and it spread like wildfire. And what was going on was Judaism had become very highly intellectualized, and there were lots of poor people, poor Jews, who weren't educated. They're called Pinsula Jews, simple Jews. They weren't educated. And so the Baal Shem Tov comes along, the founder of Hasidism, and says, you know what? It's not only Aaron, who's sitting there with a big talit over his head in the synagogue, because he knows the whole Torah, and he knows the whole Talmud, and he knows this, and he knows that. So he gets to sit in the front with his talus over his head, having his communication with God like the philosopher king. But Jack down the road, who doesn't know the alphabet, he's got a spark of God too. If he can sing a little nagun, if he can hum a melody, if he can open his heart, if he can pray in any language, he can connect with God. And then there was a war, okay? We had civil war. I'm not going to get into that. But there were the Mikdadim, the opposers, who were the intellects, the Talmudists, great Talmudists, and the Hasidim, who were simple people, poor people, who wanted to worship. And it was a war. And this tension is still present today in certain enclaves. So we had the Reform movement, and we had the Orthodox movement when we started realizing our civil rights, right? We had people who didn't want to give up Hebrew, didn't want to give up Shabbos, didn't want to give up anything, didn't want any change, or much change. And we had the Reform that says, look, all we have to do is be good people and forget the halakha if it's going to separate you from your neighbor, just ethical monotheism. Well, there were people that were comfortable with that. So they had this big banquet, invited all the Jewish rabbis, right? All the rabbis. It's called the Trefillah Banquet. What did they serve? Shrimp. which they serve shellfish to a bunch of rabbis, many of whom wanted to eat it because not kosher. And that was the birth of the conservative movement that said, you know what? We've got to have Jewish law. We've got to have observance. And we've got to have ethical monotheism. We have to do things that are good for other people. But we have to have balance. So they're kind of the mid-range people, and they have their own legal body. They make Jewish law, they review Jewish law and make decisions, which may depart from Orthodox law. And then Mordechai Kaplan comes along, and he's reading Jewish history and says, you know what, this is an evolving religious civilization of the Jewish people, and our behavior should only be in part determined by the past. The halacha gets a vote, not a veto. We're a social group. We're a community. And that was the birth of Reconstructionist Judaism. And it's based on humanistic values and ideals. And we had the Shoah. And we lost in the Shoah great mystics, great Hasidic rabbis who knew the teaching that I said about the nails. That's a Hasidic teaching. That's out of Europe. My Rebbe was European. My Rebbe came from Poland. The founder of Jewish Renewal escaped the Holocaust. He did not escape it totally. He was in two refugee camps in France before he came into the United States with his family. But he escaped. He could have gone to Auschwitz instead. He was very, very lucky. And my rabbi came in many years before the Shoah. So the rabbis that we lost, the great minds that we lost, the great Jews that we lost in the Shoah, these were Hasidim. These were rabbis who knew Torah, Talmud. They knew Kabbalah. They knew the Jewish mysticism. They knew the depth, the treasures, the real juice of what makes Judaism delicious, wonderful, joyous, deep, soothing, healing, challenging. They knew, and they perished. So we're in the United States, and this is not a knock against modern Judaism in any way, but we were imitating Protestants. We were building our synagogues according to Protestant architecture, the church architecture, and we, scientific method was scientific theory was being, you know, really elevated, and Judaism became highly rationalized, and all the juice, all the mysticism, all the spirituality, all that stuff, mixed. Not in it. I mean, I have friends who were told by their rabbis that there's really not God, because we had the death of God after the Shoah. I mean, these are huge, huge changes that we've been through. So we're doing sacrifices in Jerusalem. Then we're doing study of Torah, Talmud, keeping halakha like crazy. Then we're kind of massaging the halakha. We're in this country, we're in other countries. We are ready. And in, we're studying, we're learning, we're getting educated, we're going into professions that we can support our families. And this is really important. And we don't want to be different. We don't want to be different. We want to be accepted. And in the United States, if anybody just saw the Pew research study, there are more people, more Jews now than ever that have left Judaism. And in a way, it is, I know it's sad, and it's also the signal that I'm going to move to about renewal now. But in a sense, it's that we were very successful in this country. There is nothing that we can't do in this country. I'm not saying there's no anti-Semitism here, but I'm saying you want to go to school, you can go to school. You want to be a doctor, you can be a doctor. You want to be a social worker, you can be a social worker. You can do anything you want. You want to send your kid to school, even if you want to send your kid to a school. I have Jewish friends who went to Catholic schools. I had friends who, when they were younger, went to Christian schools. You can do anything you want in this country. There's no government that's going to tell you no. So Judaism faced, especially in this country, a very unusual circumstance. First of all, we have the God is dead shift, right? God is gone because God did not save us in the Shoah. And the God that they're talking about that's left over from Rabbinic Judaism is so transcendental, is so beyond, you can't talk about God, you can't reach God, you can't touch God, you can't do this with God. All you can do is praise God. What good is God if I can't even have a conversation with you, if I can't have a relationship, if you're not here with me and you didn't save us, then what good is this?
You said that there's a lot of Judaism in the recent days. That they, by that, do you mean they're just not practicing anymore? Or
it's a very interesting question. And there's a great book called The Jew and the Lotus. When the, in our book club, when the Dalai Lama went into exile and he called for the rabbis, Zalman, who is the founder of Jewish Renewal, was one of the rabbis that went over to talk to him. And he wanted to know how to keep his people together in exile. Our people, our Jewish people, who were drawn to spirituality, went to other traditions. Buddhism is so huge amongst Jews that there is a category called Jew-Boos, Jewish people who became Buddhist. A lot of them came back through renewal. We have rabbis, one of my teachers who's Orthodox, and she's not a rabbi. She was in an ashram for 20 years in India. She's now Orthodox. She's a wonderful teacher, really wonderful teacher. There are many Jewish renewal rabbis who came back because what we are doing is we are doing the really hard work, but so much the good news is that a lot has been translated, of looking into these ancient texts that you haven't been looked into for a really long time, looking into Jewish mysticism as it developed, and not saying we're going to take this wholesale and just like carve it out and start using it. The question is, how can we use these treasures to nurture Jewish people? How can we make Judaism rich and joyous? And how can people come in who maybe don't know a lot about Jewish practice or Jewish services, and come in and feel right at home? People come in through Yom Kippur to Or HaHava. I'm going to get you a second. People come in through Yom Kippur to Or HaHava. And Yom Kippur is probably the most complex service of all the services. There's five very, very complex services that take over a 26-hour period. We have people come in that know very little, and they walk in and they're absolutely comfortable because there's enough experimentation, enough grappling with what is really the spirit of this service, what is really the spirit of these prayers, what are the rabbis trying to get across here, what are they teaching us, we are Israelites, we're God wrestlers, we wrestle it out, but then we renew it. We're not trying to restore it. We're not trying to restore Judaism, what it was like before the Shoah. We are trying to renew it and make it relevant for people who are looking for spirituality and not finding it or not finding enough of it in the traditional ways. We're offering it. People went to Christianity, Zahi. People went to all kinds of stuff. They went to Sufi. I have a student who loves, she's Jewish, she loves to study, she's Sufi. She became Sufi. They left, and some people just left. Some people just said there's no God, and there's no God, there's no justice, and they just left. Did that answer your question? Bonnie?
Well, I didn't think you would answer this question, so I was going to answer it for
her. Oh.
Yeah. Because I think the simpler answer is that a lot of people stop practicing,
right,
and search other things or do nothing.
But a lot of them came back when Reb Zalman, the founder of Renewal, and Reb Shlomo, who was not the founder of Renewal, but you know Shlomo Carlbach's music. We do all the shows you hear Shlomo's music. I don't care what show it is. And he was so, oh my gosh, he was just like this heart. And they were both came from Europe, and my Rebbe, who came from Europe, Zichrono Livracha, and then Shlomo Zichrono Livracha. They looked out. These were ordained Lubavitcher rabbis. They were from that real European hardcore shtetl kind of training. And then they come to the United States, they're going to restore everybody. Shlomo and Zalman writes about this. Shlomo and Zalman get together and go, they don't want to be restored. They don't care. We've got to find something that's going to engage people, touch their hearts, mean something in their lives. And that's we use a lot of Shlomo's music, but that's when Jewish renewal was really born. So we also have another shift with theology, because God now, the God that's so transcendent that you can't come communicate with, people have given up on that. Most Jews have given up on that God because it doesn't... What are you going to do with that God? No disrespect intended. Now with the kind of, with quantum physics and computer technology, the advances in technology, we are global now. And we are, there's a sense, we have environmentalism, we're starting to understand that what happens to the earth is human control. We have the sense of being connected one to another and connected with all that has been created. Everything that's been created, we are connected with. We're sitting here as separate beings, and that's true. We're in this world of physicality, but as soon as you start traveling through the other worlds, and I'm talking about the worlds that we live in, the emotional world, the mental world, the spiritual world, and beyond, there's this kind of global cosmic connection. So we're starting to look for God, not out there alone. We know God's out there. We get that. We believe in a creator God that's different than us. God's God and I'm not. There's a book, I'm God and you're not. But God is present. It's a belief that God is imminent, that God is present in everything created, that everything, God is present in everything alive, including you. So when I get up in the morning, I'll use Zalman, it's better. When Zalman gets up in the morning, he says his morning prayers. He says, okay, God, how do you want, thank you for giving me another day. And how do you want a God through Zalman today? You want to be Zalman today? Okay, I hope to give you an honorable ride today. How do you want a God through me? It's listening to the call of your soul. I'm sorry? He's about 90. Yeah, 90. And his best writings are coming out. His writings are, they're coming out like this. He's so prolific. I know what he's doing. I mean, he pulled back from renewal. He still comes to Kalah, gathering, but he asks people not to bother him. He is producing. He's trying to lead the legacy. And he has written things that are so amazing, amazing. And I'm finding things that I didn't know or things that remind me of what Rabbi Broad told me. You know, I learned a lot from Rabbi Broad that are still unfolding for me. He was so deep. And he would tell me things and they would be like seeds being planted and they unfold. And that's like renewal. It's seeds being planted and it continues to unfold.
Question. Are you comfortable? Or you want it cooler in here? Or is it okay? Temperature?
Thank you.
I might have to get in my soul.
You know, Jewish renewal rabbis have, like, we're not rabbis in the typical sense. Rabbis are trained as judges, like what's kosher, what's not kosher. What law, what do you do, you know? It's not that we're not into halakha, we are, but we're into integral halakha, which I'm going to get to. But I'm not trained as a judge. I have no interest in being a judge. I am called oftentimes Rebbe. Not Rebbe like of some big Rebbe who's on top of all these chassidim, not like that. Rebbe is a role, and sometimes I had the honor, like if it's true that I'm right now healing your soul a little bit, that's an honor for me. I am not me personally, but something's coming through me, something I'm sensing in your soul that needs this, and I'm saying it. You see what I'm saying? That's Rebbe. That's Rebbe. And that's what Jewish funeral is very concerned with. So I want to go to, I want to start with the things that we renewalists agree on. Aw, Dolly. Well, one is that Jewish renewal is a Jewish, it's a phenomenon. It's a religious and spiritual phenomenon. It's a creative project of a variety of Jews, now from several generations, because this goes all the way back to the 60s. Who are seeking the spiritual and ethical vitality of Judaism as it has developed over centuries. And we are experimenting with different kinds of ritual, which you know. I mean, my Ora Hava's Yom Kippur service is a retreat. It was a giant experiment. I actually learned it from Rabbi and Professor Shia Eisenberg, who was a professor of religious studies in Gainesville, and he was my Rebbe, and he was my scholar, so to speak, in Jewish renewal when I was in rabbi school. And I used to go to his retreats. And I kind of took off from there and worked with people over the years, and it's been evolving. And it's a 26-hour retreat. It's very, very holy. And it doesn't really look, except for it always follows the traditional structure of the service. And of course we read Torah and we study Torah and of course we get into some Haftorah. But it really is a very different kind of technology because we do a lot of meditation. We transport ourselves into being high priests and high priestesses. Our own, we're responsible for our own spiritual cleansing. And we do the deep work. It's very different. So we've experimented with different kinds of ritual and spiritual technology in which a person who wishes to do so can engage. And we've been excavating, I think I told you, the treasures of Torah, the insights of great hearts of mind from the Jewish Hasidic and mystical traditions, from Hasidic psychology that evolved through Jewish renewal, into the use of transpersonal psychology in our ritual and practice. Okay. We, Jewish renewal, as I explained, we've been renewing Judaism. Jews have been renewing Judaism since. You know, renewing Judaism has been a centuries-long process for Jews. Jewish renewal itself, we see ourselves as beyond the denominational boundaries. People say to me, well, are you Reform? Are you conservative? Are you Orthodox? And I say yes, because I borrow from all those things. There are things that are very Orthodox that I borrow from. There's things that are conservative that I borrow from, and there's things from Reform that I borrow from, and a little bit from Reconstructionist. So we look back into how Judaism's developed and what our traditions are, but we also look out into the world. It's not just what happened to the Jews and our own changing paradigm of theology and social and economic and cultural and political circumstances. It's also major shifts in the world. I mean, we have quantum physics, we have technology, we put a person on the moon. We can be cooked up to a breath machine and tubes, and we can be kept alive when we're brain dead. There has been women's movement and civil rights movements, we are not isolated from that. We've been affected by all of that, and we have taken it in and said, you know, we're in this unbelievable time of change, unbelievable time of change. And Judaism can't use the old stuff, all of the old stuff. It has to be renewed. We have to bring it forward. We have to do something with the halakha. Do we have Orthodox that want to keep every law that's ever been written and then they write some more because they're not happy, it's not strict enough? Yes. Do I say that's not good? No, because they show us a model of Judaism that's kept alive. So like I said, they should be well and they should keep on doing what they're doing. I think that the Reform are wonderful. I think the Conservative are wonderful.
Yeah.
But it's not enough. It has not satisfied the people. Yeah, I'm almost done. I'm almost done.
I'm gonna sidetrack you, but it's gonna
yeah.
remind
you that. Yeah, it's a short film and it gives people a little bit of an idea. So I just wanna tell you about a little bit about integral halakha. You can't get out of rabbi school without lots of classes.
What is that word halakha?
Halakha is Jewish law. It's very interesting because halakha comes from the root for that's holech, and it means to walk. It means walking the path. So it doesn't mean that it's this path and there's no other path. That's Orthodox view of halakha. But an integral halakha will look and say, okay, so we have some halakha here that maybe doesn't work. So what can we do? For example, we have kashrut. Right? We're supposed to eat kosher. We don't eat meat and milk. We only eat kosher animals. Renewal comes along and says, you know what? If you're eating kosher meat that's processed by some plant that's not doing well with the animals because we've had kosher plants reported to the Humane Society, or something chemical waste or doing whatever, it means not kosher. If they're not paying their workers a fair wage, that meat's not kosher. So when somebody comes to me and says, I eat glatt kosher meat, I'm unimpressed. I want to know, are you conscious of the slaughtering process? Are you conscious of how the animal is raised? The worst thing that ever happened to food was shrink wrap. I mean, you find it in the freezer section of Publix, right? It's all shrink wrapped. And you have no idea what happened to that animal. You have no idea that animal had consciousness and was scared to death when it was being slaughtered. Chickens have consciousness. Cows have consciousness. May not be the same consciousness we have, but they have consciousness. That's an example of integral halakha that will look out into the world and will say, well, what's going on that we really need to be aware of and not support or support and bring those things into the rules for life, the rules that we live by. I'm not going to go much further into the halakha, except to say that when I depart from halakha, I don't do it easily. And I'm not saying I don't do it. I mean, my Rebbe, who was Orthodox, who came from Europe, used to say to me that rabbis could never envision how we live today. They were writing these rules when we were in little shtiebels. They were writing these rules when we didn't have electricity. They had no idea, no way of understanding electricity. It wasn't part of their consciousness. So they're making rules for a certain time and place. So what Renewal does is say, okay, if the rule doesn't work, if we can redo the rule, we will. But if the rule doesn't work, we cut and we make a new rule that works for our life now. We honor the need for consciousness and awareness of how to live in a good way, to become mensches, to live ethically, to do good things in the world. But we are not just bound. It's like you're not, if you're gay, or you're a lesbian, and you have a problem with Orthodox. In the Orthodox world, a tremendous problem. In the Orthodox world, you come to renewal, we've got the things that you would need to have a Jewish marriage. That is updating. That's integral halakha. That's looking outside and saying, okay, we need to respond to this need in the Jewish community. My Zalman, Shlomo, and Rabbi Brod, my rabbis of another bracha, also the same thing. It's very interesting. They came from different parts of Europe, but they all said the same thing. They all said, what about the people? What about the people? What do the people need? They weren't talking about do this, do this, do this, keep it, keep it, keep it. What they were saying is give the people what they need. Help them. It's our job to find a way to make it right, make it good, make it kosher. So I think that, are there any questions? I think I'm going to stop there. I think it's a lot of big download, and I could have gone on, and I really cut a lot, believe it or not. When people teach Jewish renewal, they make it like a day class. But I wanted to give you a really strong taste, like a small meal of it, of what it is, what it means, where it comes from, how it developed, why it developed. You're welcome. Does anybody have any questions?
So would you say that Jewish renewal is denominoid?
I think that Jewish renewal is a movement because we have a rabbinic program. We have ordination programs for cantors, rabbis, rabbinic pastors, and soul guides, mashpiot. And when you are a rabbi student or a cantorial student, you have to go through spiritual counseling. No choices. You have to have a year of spirit. You have to have a year with a soul guide, and or more. They don't want you out of rabbi school without knowing that you have at least enough balance in your soul that you can go out there and help other people. Because this is about other people. It's about us and others in relationship with other people. We're developing a rabbi's manual. We have structure for the rabbinic, for the ordination programs that people have to go through. We have a rabbinic association. I mean, we do have some hierarchy with teachers and leaders. So I don't think that we're devoid of being a, I think we are a movement, but I think we're a phenomenon. I don't think that we have developed the kind of rigidity or the kind of you can only do this but not this. You know, some of my colleagues are very big environmentalists. I'm not a huge environmentalist. I try to respect the environment. I try to remain conscious of what I eat and what I use, things like that. But my world is much more of a spiritual world. I'm more attached, more drawn into the spiritual world rather than this world, the environment of this world. Some people are very drawn to social justice, and they lead like these unbelievable projects, just amazing. So there's not like this dogma that says you have to do this, or you have to do that, or you have to lead your services this way. It's not like that. And as long as we can remain without a lot of dogma and without a lot of shoulds and should not, but yet with the agreement amongst the renewalists that consciousness is primary. Conscious connection with God, primary direct connection with God is primary. I think the rest is small stuff.
I have a question.
Mm-hmm.
And you know how much I support the movement, obviously, and I'm very grateful that you accept me in your movement, even though I'm still confused, not knowing what I want to do. What do you say if, and I think that the Orthodox rabbis in Israel have called your movement heretic, probably. What do you say to that? And what is the, do you think at some point they will accept you as part of the Jewish community in general? Because right now they don't accept you as
they don't accept, the Orthodox in Israel don't accept conservatives. They don't accept reform. They don't accept, we're all heretics. We're all heretics. We have some renewalists who are Israeli and who have groups there. And they actually get along pretty well with the reform movements. There's a lot of integrated learning and grouping together. We have a very strong, I have, and I know that many renewalists have a very strong feeling for Israel. And a lot of us are pacifists and very connected to peace. That is not, I am not that pacifistic. I can be a little bit of a hawk at when it's necessary, and it's in the Talmud, and I feel okay about that. It's not only in Israel, it's also here. It's also in the United States, where people say this isn't Jewish, or it's not text-bound enough. And you'll hear that in this little clip, 10-minute clip. And you know what? You can't control that. We study so much text. We are text-driven because we're unearthing the treasures of our that are hidden, that were hidden. They're not taught in the synagogues. We have this kind of, for some people it's wonderful, for some people it's a little bit dry, the presentation of Judaism in the synagogues. People don't know what's going on. Sit up, you know, stand up, sit down, pay your dues, whatever. They're looking for more juice. I think that, you know what, over time, I don't know what's going to happen, and I can't even focus on it. My work, I just know my work. I have to have a strong enough skin. That sounds defensive. Not a strong enough skin. I just have to believe in my assignment from God. And instead of looking at, am I accepted? How many people are here? How much money do we have? Instead of looking here at the outside indicators, when I turn in my inner space, which I've been working on for a really long time, and that's what Or Hava is about, is working on your inner space so that we can have good outer space. And I look at the assignment I was given many years ago, and I know that it was given to me by God. I was deep in meditation, and I was just propelled out of my seat, and I've been doing it ever since, clear as a bell. The rest is up to God. I can't control what those people do. I can't control the other movements. We'll be accepted or we won't. They'll still have shuls that they want. We've got shuls that are closing. There's not enough people who go to shuls and pay dues. They don't like it.
What is shuls?
Synagogues. I'm sorry. Shuls is like a Yiddish word for it, like a little shul, a schoolhouse. It's really a schoolhouse, but when you say shul in modern day language, you're talking about a synagogue. Do I care occasionally? And then I go meditate.
I don't care at all.
Yeah, I mean, it could really, but you don't have to. You don't have to at all. You don't have to. You don't have to. So, yeah. Anybody else? So can we watch, are you up for this little 10-minute movie about renewal? It's like different groups, and you're going to see a lot of people wrapping and filling.
I think it makes a lot of sense because actually reform came when times changed.
Times changed.
New movements.
Oh, good. Now you're going to see some renewalists. This is not, nothing is typical of renewal. So, well, some things will be typical. Barbara, I have a site. The guy who you study every Yom Tov, you study his book. I've got Talushkin's talking with Zalman and another renewalist rabbi.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I'll send you the site.
Don't let me stop it.
Yeah, please. Thank you.